Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me yet again today. We've got a great show for you. This story inspires me, it excites me, and I'm really happy to get to share it with you. So let's jump into it, shall we? My guest today, he made the seemingly insignificant decision to start a personal blog. This was back in 2013, and the blog was Search Engine Journal. Today, Search Engine Journal has morphed into a thriving media company and has become one of the most popular marketing blogs online. In 2013, with SEJ thriving, he co-founded Foundation Digital, where he steers clients' strategies, digital production, and development. Their clients now include ESPN, Apartments.com, ForRent.com, and companies like American Eagle Outfitters. Now, let's hack Lauren Bicker. Before we get into today's interview, I want to thank today's sponsor, ExpressVPN. They're the world's largest VPN provider, and they let you privately and securely surf the internet at blazingly fast speeds without being tracked by anyone. Privacy, it's definitely in the media. Today, while I'm recording this, actually, is the start of this GDPR. Your inbox has been flooded today, yesterday, for the past couple of weeks. But everybody updating their privacy policies because privacy is absolutely important to us. Yet sometimes we lack the privacy when we go to work at the library or a coffee shop or anywhere with an insecure Wi-Fi connection. ExpressVPN can help you because ExpressVPN encrypts your traffic, it encrypts your personal data, all while hiding your IP address. To take back your internet privacy today and to find out how you can get 3 months free, go to expressvpn.com/hack. That's expressvpn.com/hack, and you'll get 3 months absolutely free. Don't put this off, guys. Protect your internet, protect your data with ExpressVPN today. I hope that at some point this show inspires you to start a blog, to start a podcast, to start a business, whatever it might be. And when you go to do that, some people are going to say, why don't you just start your blog on Tumblr? Why don't you just host your podcast and your podcast website over at Libsyn? Sure, great things, great places, but please do not build your house on somebody else's property. You would never do that. So don't build your online presence on somebody else's website. You need your own hosting and you need, most importantly, your own domain name. Unfortunately, when it comes to buying a domain name, there's a lot of shady things going on out there. You've probably seen ads for a lot of shady companies that are doing this. Here's what you want when you're buying a domain name. You want none of these upsells as you're purchasing. You just want the domain name. And you want a clean, easy-to-use user interface. Plus, you want best-in-class customer support. Remember, you wouldn't build your house on somebody else's property. Don't build your business without your own domain name. Go to hover.com/hack and get started today. We are back. Another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a special guest that I've been wanting to have on the show, I'm going to say for probably almost 3 years. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I have no idea sometimes how these things happen, how like we keep sort of crossing paths all the time and it never, I don't know. And then just finally it's like, what about Lauren? He's not on the show yet. So here we are. It's going to be fun.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
All right, Lauren, let's jump into this.
Yeah.
I'm going to say you are a man that sort of wears many different hats, but today we are talking to Lauren, the entrepreneur. As that person, Lauren, Can you tell me what's the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your success so far?
Interesting. The one thing that I do that's the biggest contributor to my success. You know what? I think for the most part, I try to be transparent and honest with almost anyone I work with or work for. And it's contributed in a lot of different ways. And when I mean transparent and honest, I mean, I like to help people. I like to give my opinion. I like to tell people if something's going to work, if it's not going to work, et cetera, et cetera. And I think how that's worked out for me over the years is that when I first launched Search Engine Journal, in 2003, I reached out to the community, right? The search engine optimization, search marketing community. And I told people what I wanted to do and what my plans were. And I got feedback from them on it. And I applied that. So also when I first started with consulting, I was a little bit transparent with clients and prospects about what I had learned launching my blog and managing my blog and how I could apply that to their business. And generally, if someone asked me for help, I like to reciprocate all of that good energy that I got early on. I think that's helped in a lot of ways. I've always felt that integrity is a cornerstone to business. And in many ways, by launching a website that has become an authority in my own industry, that integrity has to be reflected with everything I do, because at the end of the day, what I do reflects on my brand, and what my brand does reflects on me. In my head, that's the way it works. And then two, I think it's helped with, in the consulting space, I think it's helped with client retention. So if something's not working, I'll let people know. If we tried a project and we see that it didn't get the results, I'll let them know immediately, and we'll use those learnings to apply to something that will work. Right. So a lot of the times marketing or entrepreneurship can be a highlight reel of everything that's been great, almost like a Facebook timeline, so to speak. Right. A highlight reel of everyone's life. But there's a lot of things that happen over the course of a year or a decade that don't work. Right. And it's really learning and applying. And I like to be transparent about that.
So it sounds like from the very, very beginning, you were transparent in this way. And therefore, I'm going to guess not afraid of sort of putting ideas out there. And like, some people are so afraid that someone's going to take their idea if they ask for feedback or put the idea out there before going live.
Yeah, I think so. And I do admit over time, sometimes I won't throw all my ideas out there anymore because I have a larger audience. But early on, when I decided, and I'll backtrack a little bit. So I decided to launch Search Engine Journal as a personal project in an effort to build my own brand. Not only my own brand from an SEO perspective, but my own brand to establish myself as a thought leader in SEO. I had been doing it for a long time in email threads and forums, participating, answering questions, asking questions, et cetera, et cetera. But then when I started SEJ, well, one of the reasons why I started it was because I realized that I was contributing my thoughts and content all over the place, and I wanted a centralized hub that I owned that would house those thoughts and content, right? And of course, it was a business opportunity because blogging was getting big at the time, and I wanted to get a little bit deeper into consulting. So when I went to launch the blog, I went to various different forums that I was already participating in, and I told people my plans, and a lot of people gave ideas. A lot of people said, no, why would you do that? There's already another search engine blog out there, or a blog or site about search engines. Why are you sure it's going to be a big deal? You know, and it's always good to kind of get feedback from a group like that, right? Whether it's an official, I guess, a sample group or whatever, or just, you know, your peers. And what I've noticed over the years too, is when you do that, people tend to look forward to whatever you're doing or whatever you're launching. So it's nice to get feedback, bounce ideas off of people. It's nice to have trusted groups to do that in as well. Speaking of, like, you know, we were talking about the Rainmaker crew and everything, copy blogger previously, and sometimes I'll have an idea and I'll I'll text Brian Clark or see what he thinks about it, and he'll tell me if it's dumb, or he'll tell me that it sounds great. And it's nice to have trusted peers and friends like that to be able to do that off of.
It is. So, okay, so I want to backtrack, but actually I want to follow this up. This idea of having these trusted peers. I mean, getting to text Brian Clark is something that not everybody gets to do. How are you putting yourself, or is this sort of, would you say just by establishing yourself, this allows you to meet more people? You know what I mean? Like, it's 15 years later, but now people are still starting and they're like, how do I get him on my, like, how do I get to text somebody? Like, I don't have anybody I can text and ask these ideas.
Well, that's an interesting point. I think there's various waves in businesses when people get started and the groups that they're around and ways that people communicate, right? So when I got into blogging, it was very early on. I had the chance to beta test WordPress before it came out. Started SEJ on the Blogger platform when Google first acquired it. And by doing that, I got to meet other people that were starting similar projects and communicate with them within different forums or threads and things like that about it. So I guess to that extent, I think the word's overused, but I started to establish my tribe without even thinking about it. We just had that in common, right? So I think you see that in various waves of, I don't want to sound old, but generations. You know, some folks that maybe got started in the business 5 years ago, 10 years ago, have other connections that they have something deeply in common with, and that common denominator. And it always really gives you the chance to, it gives you the chance to connect with those peers and those folks. And also over time, like, I'm not really one to talk about myself that much, but over time, SEJ became a personal blog about SEO into an established authority and brand in the SEO space. So I had the chance to launch a consultancy or an agency from that. I started to get invited to speak at conferences. And it's kind of funny because for a lot of the years when I first launched Search Engine Journal, I didn't live in the United States. For the first 3 or 4 years, I was in Japan, Brazil, and then Japan again. Whoa. So I was doing all of this without necessarily being intertwined into the face-to-face communications that you would see at an SEO conference or a PubCon or something like that. It wasn't until about 2006, 2007 that I came back to the US and I started to get invited to speak. And there's certain things I take for granted because I did have the opportunity and somewhat accidentally did this, is like built up a brand and presence early on, if that makes sense. And that's how I can text Brian Clark and see what he's doing and what he's having for dinner.
Nice. That's a good answer. It's a good answer.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right. And so you mentioned this idea of like sort of entrepreneurship as this highlight reel. And I think it actually is, but it also, it does something else from people on the outside, which is you started Search Engine Journal as a personal project in 2003. So I feel like this timeline also gets highly compressed. So to you, it's been 15 years of hard work. To us, seeing you, and especially people who might have just discovered you, just kind of see where you're at today and don't really know the start of it. I actually didn't know that it was a personal project. So starting Search Engine Journal to what it is today, like you've said, and you talked about how there was sort of this morphing of it into like an established brand.
Right.
At what point, like, did you become aware that this should change from a personal project into something bigger?
I think that point was around 2010. What happened was my agency work started getting the better of me. So it went from SEJ being 80% of my time to more like 20% of my time, because I had partnered with a couple other folks, started some new agencies. We had at one point staff of 70 odd people. I was like, well, I don't have time for this anymore. So hired some editors, hired some other folks, and I ended up actually getting into a partnership with SEJ. So SEJ from, I believe, 2011 on, has been part of a larger company called Alpha Brand Media. When I first partnered with Alpha Brand Media, we had several different sites. Basically, I brought SEJ into the mix. Some other folks brought some hip-hop sites. There were some pop culture sites. And of course, that all mixes really well, right? You think, hey, Search Engine Journal, and then a bunch of hip-hop and sneaker sites. Well, what we wanted to do was form more of a publishing group or publishing conglomerate to get more views and be able to sell more ads. So, but anyway, when things got busy on the agency side, I started to see SEJ kind of become what first was projecting me into getting more clients, being able to be a self-employed entrepreneur, you know, business owner, et cetera, was starting to become an afterthought. So what happened there was I had to start to let go a little bit, right? Because I think you get to the point when you have a business where you're used, especially when you build everything from the ground up, you're used to doing everything and you think you're the only person that can. So whether it's answering emails, doing the bookkeeping, lining up bloggers, doing the writing, whatever it is, sometimes if you try to control everything, you can't necessarily grow. And I think one of the hardest parts of being an entrepreneur is the ability to let go a little bit. And one of the ways that I did that was getting involved with Alpha Brand Media, where I had other folks that we were working with, and then the ability to bring on more editors and writers and things like that. Now we're at a point where SEJ is the flagship of Alpha Brand, and we've developed it to be more than a blog. It's not just writing anymore, but we have video series, we have podcasts, we have webinars, we have ebooks, a lot of self and partner monetization models. So obviously, I could never have done most of that by myself by bringing on different partners and also by bringing on full-time staff members that do this all the time and are very competent and great at what they do, been able to grow that accordingly to where it is today. So small personal project, I think after the first couple of months, someone offered me $35 to put an ad on there. I was so ecstatic to be able to sell an advertising spot. Along came AdSense, along came links, along came this, came that, lots of different monetization models. Now we see it as being more of a media company than a blog. And it's been great to see things grow. We had a call earlier today looking at the numbers. It's fantastic to see the audience grow and everything else and to be kind of part of that momentum, so to speak.
Yeah. And so it is that Alpha Brand Media being able to sort of step back. And it is that it's that hard transformation that I think from those personal projects that lots of our businesses start as to, okay, this needs to be something bigger beyond me. And therefore, I can't have my hand in all of it. It's tough. It's tough for us.
I agree. I haven't read the book, but I've been recommended this book by a number of people. It's called The 80-20 Principle. It's by Richard Koch, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, K-O-C-H. And from what I understand, it's a very simple law or rule. You basically write down the 20, well, maybe the 2 or 20 things that you'd love to do, and 80% of the things that you feel are repetitive or someone else can take care of for you. And you look to see how you can have other folks in your company take care of the 80%. You concentrate on the 20% of what you do well. Then after about 3 or 6 months, you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. And all really matters on how you can grow, right? But point being is that not only is it supposed to help with productivity, but it's supposed to help with overall happiness, right? And I think one of the things that I've learned in the past couple of years is that I don't have to wake up at 4 o'clock every morning and then burn the midnight oil to midnight to try to get everything done. There's other folks that can help me do that, whether it's through employment or even giving the people that you work with the ability to do more or putting things off. So having not read the book, but used a little bit of the strategy that I've heard from it, it's really helped. And I also think in terms of being an entrepreneur, not to get too off track, John, but it's when you're building a business, right, you are expected to spend that extra time. But there has to be a point where you do have to let some things go and enjoy yourself a little bit, because what are you building it for in the first place type thing, right?
Right.
So I'm not in my 20s anymore. I'm a father now and a husband. So if I were to be up until 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning every night, frantically writing, emailing, doing whatever to help run things, there would be no balance there.
That being said, are you up till 2 or 3 in the morning any nights?
Not answering emails? Not anymore.
You said every night, so let's
Yeah. Every once in a while, I'll find myself up a little bit late doing stuff. I've become more of an early riser to get those things done. I'm more productive. It's all the cliches, right? It's quiet time. You know, you're able to send emails without getting an instant reply, so you can get a little bit more things done. And it's before everyone else in my house gets up, so I can actually get some stuff done and then enjoy my mornings with my family.
Well done. Well done. So around 2010, it started this transformation. And then I believe 3 years later, you co-founded Foundation Digital.
Yes.
And this now is the main focus for you?
Yeah, Foundation Digital is my main focus. So essentially at Foundation Digital, we handle SEO strategy, content strategy, and then content development to support that strategy. We're a boutique agency. I'm not pitching or plugging right now. Okay. I just like to go over a little bit about how we're structured.
Of course.
So I have two other partners, Greg Bozer and Dax Herrera, who I had worked with in previous ventures. And we all kind of live next to each other or have lived next to each other at one time or another. And we're virtual, right? So even though we live next to each other and we have a WeWork space in Hollywood, in LA, where we meet with writers and things sometimes, most of the time we're working out of our homes. And I would say that over the years, I've tried lots of different things. I've tried offices. I've tried building up staff within the office space. I've tried getting into things that I'm not that familiar with, really, like paid search and social media marketing and things like that. And I think over time, through a lot of trial and error, I've found that you should really stick with your comfort zone.
You should.
You should, stick with your comfort zone. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try to expand every once in a while and see what more you can do, but that should be experimental. What I've found personally is that I'm more productive working from home, with a small and nimble team and working with a group of clients that are, again, aware of all of that, right? We're very upfront when we bring on a new client. We're a virtual company. We have some employees in British Columbia. We have some employees in Florida. And we have employees in California and then some designers in various places. And we don't want to give the expectation that we have an office space or try to pull that off, right? So we're very upfront about that. And we give references to a lot of the clients that we've had for 3, 4, 5 years and things like that. And I like that. It's nice to be comfortable. I tried to grow too fast before. I tried to do too much before. And it got the better of me from a health perspective, right? With the no sleeping and staying up all night. from an economic and financial perspective. And from all other directions. And I think what happened was sometimes, you ever read the book, The Alchemist?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So what I got from that book was, although the adventure was amazing, and it was something that, you know, young person needs from time to time, it wasn't until he returned home and laid underneath the tree until he found out that there was treasure right where he was in the beginning. And I think for me, growing and trying to do a lot of stuff led to me kind of wishing things were back to what they simpler were previously. I'm not sure if that's a word or not.
It is now.
Yes. So that's where I am right now and very happy about it. So, yeah. So my learnings there, I guess, would be to take your time, to be patient, and to be happy with what you have and what you've built and have value in that, right? Because it's very easy, especially now in the world of social media. I can't get on Instagram or Facebook without seeing someone standing in front of their car or their house or something like that. It's very easy to get caught up in what's going on, you know, on the other side of the fence without valuing what you have already.
Exactly. It really is. And I guess, like The Alchemist, you had to go through that whole journey to get back to this.
Yeah.
So Foundation Digital as three co-founders.
Correct.
Does this mean like, are the, I guess, were you guys like sort of supplementary to each other, meaning that you all have sort of disciplines and things that you are, where your comfort zone lies, so you don't have to cross those paths?
We do. Greg is more of the technical SEO strategy person. He's the one that takes care of large site migrations, large issues, things like that with projects. I'm more of the content strategy slash creative slash person that applies my learnings from blogging and publishing into the client side of things, right? Because essentially what my job is to be able to give clients a success similar to what I had with SEJ. And I apply those learnings there. And then Dax is more of the operational HR person within the company, and the data scientist, so, and the developer. That's all of our roles. And the teams that we work with, there's overlap, of course, in a small company, but that's what we're all in charge of, more or less. And somehow it works with three stubborn individuals butting heads all the time against each other. Somehow it works.
Nice. So, I mean, it's been a couple, it seems like, agencies that you've been part of. SEJ, now Foundation Digital, Alpha Brand Media. There's a lot of different projects and things that you've sort of worked on or started or tried. At this point in your career, in your life personally, are you still sort of open to new projects or things that you want? Or is your, are you more focused these days on just keeping with what you have?
Well, it's funny you ask. So, no. I'm pretty comfortable with the things, way things are right now. Like, we had a great year last year at Foundation Digital. We won a bunch of search awards and advertising awards and stuff like that. That was really cool. And I'm really happy with things on the client side and the content marketing side there. I'm really happy with the way things SEJ is going and what's happening on the SEJ side and seeing that growth. I think the one thing I really want to get into is launching some kind of consumer product in the next couple of years and applying a lot of the know-how and marketing expertise and things like that into something that's a tangible, physical, e-commerce related product.
Whoa. And so completely outside of the marketing search engine space sort of thing.
Yes.
Work in the physical world, I guess.
Now we'll see if that happens, right? But it's something I've been thinking a lot about recently and doing some research around and connecting with the right people that are in those spaces to do so.
So connecting with the right people, meaning it sounds like you oftentimes, if not all of them, work with co-founders or partners. Is that how you would push this to this project?
Maybe. I'm not really sure. I'm thinking about for this project going down the Kickstarter route.
Nice.
Perhaps. And I've been working on building up the audience that this project would be attractive to. And then I've been doing some research on Kickstarters and GoFundMes and ways to market that Kickstarter and the way to pre-sell to that audience that I'm currently building and investing in. That way you're not going out there and just doing it blindly, but you already have the group individuals that would be interested in this product together already, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
I think there's, you might know these guys, I think they call themselves like the Long Hairs or something like that. They were always at the copy blogger events, and they basically have, there's like the Dollar Shave Club, the Dollar Beard Club, and these guys are like the Dollar Hair Club or something, right? And they sell like rubber bands and stuff like that for people's hair and hair care products. Mine's pretty much the exact opposite, and I'll let your mind wander from there.
All right.
If you look at my profile picture, you'll probably figure out.
You'll probably figure out what the exact opposite of the Long Hairs is.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, Lauren, this has been excellent conversation, man. I've really enjoyed it. I would like to wrap up on one final question for you.
Sure.
That I think you spend time thinking about this already, which lots of my guests don't, because you did say that take your time, be patient, and be happy with where you are. But it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this place that we live in as dreamers, as entrepreneurs, as builders, where we always, no matter what we accomplish, we're always sort of projecting our personal and business success into the future. And I agree, we need to push forward to achieve the things we want, but it's always in 3 months when you hit that metric or 6 months when you stand on that stage, that's when you'll see yourself as successful. Yet we know seconds before that you're going to set bigger goals. So rather than looking forward, let's stop and turn around. And if you could look behind you, you've been at this game a long time. I'm sure there's been a ton of highs and lows that we don't get the privilege of seeing. But looking at all of it, could you just tell me how you feel about this journey up until today?
I feel very good about it, especially when I have a chance to reflect. And there's a number of reasons, and there's some things that I would change. So I'll go through that really quickly. I think that if I think back to when I was 20, 22, 23, I had no idea that I was going to be doing what I do now in terms of some of the companies I get to work with, some of the projects I get to work on. Even living on the West Coast, I grew up in a really small town in rural Maryland, right? Where you're either going to work on the water or be a truck driver. That's really all there was to do. So the journey from there on to now has been pretty amazing, and it's good to look back. It's good to look back. And I would say it's always good to be able to reflect from an entrepreneurial perspective, right? Because sometimes you do get caught up in where you want to go. There's a saying called, I don't know who the source is of this, but I did not come this far only to come this far, if that makes sense, right? I did not come this far only to come this far. So I do believe in growth. I do believe in setting goals, but don't do it too fast. Think it through. So I'm happy with where I am based upon where I started. I would very much say, though, if I had to go back and do it all over again, I was lucky to have a group of peers to bounce ideas off of, but I would have brought on a mentor early on, someone I could talk to, trust, that had gone through it themselves and could help me align my ideas with specific steps I would be taking. Because I have kind of done this without a blueprint. It's been kind of like, just do what seems natural. And I've been pretty lucky. Like, in many ways, it's helped me grow. It's helped me be comfortable with my family, things like that. But sometimes I think, hey, you know, if I would have had that plan or that blueprint or something to help guide me along the way and have those steps to follow, it could have been better. Who knows?
That's true. And we won't know. Mm. But I mean, you did say how you ended up with that because of what you built around yourself.
Right.
But you mean you would actively go out and get a formal sort of mentor?
Yeah. Yeah. Either a business person, someone that had, there's so much stuff with legal that you have to deal with over the years, just making sure contracts are sound, making sure decisions are sound, et cetera, especially with expansion. There's people that have been through it before you, whether it's not necessarily the same industry, but they can just give you tips and feedback and things like that. So I think having that mentor would have been helpful early on. And I have a couple that I work with right now that have helped out in that respect too.
Beautiful answer, man. Beautiful answer. All right. Well, this was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I think you get to the point when you have a business where you're used, especially when you build everything from the ground up, you're used to doing everything and you think you're the only person that can. So whether it's answering emails, doing the bookkeeping, lining up bloggers, doing the writing, whatever it is, sometimes if you try to control everything, you can't necessarily grow. And I think one of the hardest parts of being an entrepreneur is the ability to let go a little bit. And one of the ways that I did that was getting involved with Alpha Brand Media, where I had other folks that we were working with, and then the ability to bring on more editors and writers and things like that.
And that's the hack. Lauren, 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 I love this. And I don't know if it's because, I mean, I can relate to it with, I guess, the blog and the media company, the transformation sort of taking place. And so I'm looking into it and trying to follow how you did this. But this right here, the ability to let go a little bit, right? So without that, you kind of can't grow, because you are, as the employee says, in a small business or whatever it is you're running, we do have to do sort of everything ourselves at the beginning, and then it's hard to let go of those things. But in order to grow, you have to, right? So Lauren then goes on to say that then he sort of partnered or merged with Alpha Brand Media. They became partners with other companies, and that's when he could utilize other people. And I think, perhaps I'm reading too far into this, but I think that it's having the partnership with those other people, then trusting them and the people they've used to then take stuff off your plate and allow your business to grow, right? So whether that's partners, or whether you're going to use contractors, or whether you're going to hire employees, or even automations and things that can do these things for you, you have to learn to let go. You have to learn to let go in order to allow or enable your company, your business, to grow beyond you, to grow bigger than what you could do yourself with holding the reins super tightly. This is simple, yet it's profound. Have that ability to let go a little bit and allow the company and the leverage to scale and create the business that you want. Lauren, thank you so very, very much. All right, all right, all right. It has been fun. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Do you know that? Do you know that? You know that. There's some really big, interesting things. I've been talking about it, I guess, maybe for a couple of months now. But now it's the end. It's here. It's upon us. And I'm excited to get to show it to you and share it with you. But the best place to hear about it is via email. So go to hacktheentrepreneur.com. Find that place to put your email address in and do it. And then you'll have access. You'll get to see. And you can hit reply if you want and talk to me. Hit me up. Ask me questions. Tell me where you're at right now. Geographically, business-wise, mentally, whatever you want. It would be cool to talk. But you can hit reply to any of those emails and they come straight to me. And yeah, this is a one-sided conversation otherwise lots of times. And so it'd be cool to hear from you. Get on the email list at the website, hacktheentrepreneur.com, and let's talk, and then you will see what's coming down the line shortly. This has been an absolute blast. As always, I thank you so much. I appreciate you stopping by. I know there's a lot of shows out there. There's a ton of podcasts out there, but it's really cool. We got to hang out for a bit, and I look forward to doing it again. All right? So thank you very much, and until next time. Please keep hacking the entrepreneur.